Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another Dean Show radio show. Every week we're here. You can tune into thedeanshow.com to see our TV programs. And you can go to the blog section. We have a little box there that you can drop your request, your suggestion for a show, a topic that you'd like to see us cover. Something that's hot now that we're going to be discussing with our sister, Zora, who will talk to us of some of the pros and cons we have or we're thinking about having a family. This is the future generation. And our sister, when we come back, we're going to be talking about public school, private school, Islamic school, homeschool. Where do you send your kids? Where should they go? We come back here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There is none greater than the Creator.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying, man? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come. Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
And we're back here with our sister Zora. Sister, are you there? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And just so the people don't have to take an Arabic class from the non-Muslim, what'd you just say?
I said, peace be unto you. Peace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be unto you.
And Allah is?
God the greatest, the Almighty, the Creator.
Beautiful. They already learned some new Arabic terms, and this is the greeting of all the messengers, and the Creator that you mentioned is the Creator of all that exists. And we're talking about today homeschooling, public school, private school, Islamic school. You got to make a decision. We heard that you made a decision to homeschool. Now, what made you come to this decision? Why not just send them to a public school?
Well, Eddie, I've been through public school all my life, and I've realized the effects of it. There was many things I didn't like. There was many peer pressures. There was many situations I had to be in that I had no idea how to deal with because I was so different. And I had no idea how to be amongst people who, you know, I was like, no, I don't want to do this stuff, and everyone else wanted to do it. And so I said, I'm not going to put my kids through that. And so after I realized I wasn't going to put them in public school, I actually had put my daughter in private school for about a year and a half. And mashallah, it was very good. Private school is pretty good. But what I noticed in private school that, you know, there was a lot of Muslim families that bring their kids to school, and the school itself is great. They've got great teachers, great stuff happening. But the parents continue to not, you know, lead their children in the right path at home. So when the kids would come to school, they would bring in whatever garbage they saw on television. And so when I would see six-year-olds bringing in makeup or, you know, bringing in bad words, I was like, oh my God, I put my kid in the school so that they can have a better education. But why are they still learning stuff that's not appropriate? And I realized that, unfortunately, some of the parents were not paying attention to their children. And so whatever they got at home, they brought back to school. And now it was infecting the kids at school. And so therefore, I decided that homeschooling was the best choice for myself, because I said, eventually, they're going to be exposed to many things. But until then, I want to expose them to the best of you know, morals and values and all that, so they can make better decisions and choices as they grow older, inshallah.
Now, are there some great leaders that some people know, not only Muslims, but non-Muslims also, that you can mention or that you know about, that were homeschooled and they came out to be some of the top leaders in this society?
Absolutely. There's Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright and Wilbur Wright, Leonardo da Vinci, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, I mean, John Madison. How many of these are presidents alone that they were all homeschooled? They were all homeschooled. They were inventors. They were, you know, I remember with Thomas Edison, the teacher said that when he went back home, they said that he's dumb. They actually called him a bad name and said that he's not capable for education. And his mother decided to step up to the plate and educate herself. And mashallah, you know, he invented electricity. So we can't even sit there and say that homeschooling does not have the right resources and not have the right intelligence. Because with homeschooling, you let the child be much more creative, much more intelligent. There's no limitation of how fast they can grow and how much they could do.
We want the best for our children. We have, as Muslims, those who have made that conscious decision to submit to the Creator alone without any partners, co-equals, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He has sent throughout time His guidance throughout some of the messengers, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jesus Christ, and the last and final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who came with the verbatim word of God, the Quran, which is a living miracle to this day. We want to live by that system. We don't want to live according to our lusts and desires, because we want to have peace, not only in this life, but in the hereafter, because death is approaching. And one of the continuous charities and one of the best investments we know, because when we die, we leave everything behind. But if you have a righteous child, that child who is also submitting to the Creator, doing all the good, wholesome things that the Creator has told us to do, and being a benefit to society and humanity, then you continue on getting the rewards. So we want to send them to the right institutions. And we have heard from some of the scholars. I had a scholar on the show the other day, Dr. Bilal Phillips, and I've heard this from Sheikh Yusuf Estes and others who have said, one compared it to spiritual suicide, sending your children to public school. Another said that it was like flushing your kid down the toilet. I mean, we got to keep it real. What do you think about this?
Absolutely. Facts are, Eddie, that 80% of children who go to public school lose their deen. They lose their religion. It doesn't matter if they're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, they lose their religion. 80% of kids. So going into that thinking, basically, if you're sending your child, you already know that, you know, I mean, 80% of them will not have it. They will not have their deen. They will not even understand it. And I know this because, you know, myself, I look at my own family situation. We were raised in America since we were six. We did not have our faith growing up. We fasted in the month of Ramadan, we prayed, but we really lost our deen because, you know, we didn't know any better. We were in that environment where no one practiced it because state and God are separate in schools. So we really had no clue. And so coming back, you know, I was 30 years old coming to find my faith, and that's a shame. It's really a shame. And I made decisions and I've done things that I don't think were appropriate, whether it's saying a bad word when I should have never said it, or whether it's, you know, talking about someone when I should have never done it. And so I did not want my children raised the same way. Like, we talk about backbiting, we talk about slandering, we talk about what's right or wrong. And my kids have to consciously, like the other day we were in the car, we were traveling, and my son said, "Oh, Mom, I want to tell you something." And I said, "Okay." And then he said, "No, I'm not going to say anything." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I think it might be backbiting." I said, "Well, great. Alhamdulillah, don't say it. If you even think it's going to be backbiting, don't say nothing." You know, and so we kind of come into the conclusions of how do you raise them with this high morale? You know, if he hears something bad, you know, he'll say astaghfirullah and he'll walk away. Or if they see something, like when we go to someone else's house, because obviously we cannot control the TV everywhere, right? And if someone's got their television on and there's something bad on, they'll lower their gaze. They're like, "Okay, we can't look at this. This isn't good for us." So it's kind of getting this deeper in morale and values integrated in them and understanding why we behave the way we do, so that inshallah, when they're older, they can continue with that path. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
And that's really what I found the power of homeschooling to be, is you teaching them the stuff that you really want to teach them versus things that don't even matter to them. And, you know, there's a lot of things that don't matter that schools teach and you're like, "Okay, why do we care about Valentine's Day? We don't even believe in it, really." Yes. So why do we care to teach our children and waste a week making hearts and doing things that are just not even part of what we believe in?
Absolutely. And I've come to know that many Christians, non-Muslims, are seeing the moral decline of the children in a lot of the public institutions, and they're also starting to homeschool.
Absolutely. Correct? Absolutely. There's many, many Christian homeschoolers. There's many Jewish homeschoolers, many parents who want their kids to be raised with high morale, high values, and to do the right thing at the end of the day, you know, to have that good personality, to not, you know, drink and smoke and do the stuff that they also believe in, that it's very close to Islam, you know, and so they continuously want to raise their children the same way. And it's right now, they're saying about 10% of America is homeschooling. And it's a $1 billion industry right now, 10%. And it's increasing by the day because people just really are noticing that schools are not producing what they want to produce. And there was a doctor, there's a scientist who, his wife was also a scientist, and she passed away, and he had 6 children. He decided to stay home and work from home as a scientist and homeschool all 6 of his children. And it was phenomenal because they were all raised with such high morals. They got into college early. They learned to self-educate themselves in so many ways. They read the Bible every day in the evening. So homeschooling has just been a phenomenal thing. And the way that people are, you know, like I said, not wanting to not only lose their faith, but to have a good life.
I was going towards Jummah. Jummah is the Friday prayer that we make as Muslims. And this program is for everybody. And I'm sure those of our non-Muslim colleagues, friends, co-workers who are listening, who are our brothers in humanity, and we sincerely want the best for them. We want them to be our brothers in faith, God willing. And I'm sure that any sensible person can see the rationale behind this. Because as I was walking to Jummah, there was a group of young boys, and they were coming from, I believe, the high school. And what turned my stomach upside down was the foul language that they were using. It was very bad. And these are some of the things that kids pick up. If you're at home and you're teaching your children righteousness, but if they go out to a whole institution that's not, and you have what you mentioned earlier, the backbiting, the swearing, cursing, gangs, drugs, all sorts of mischief and evil, this is going to eventually probably rub off on the children, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, the other day, because my daughter has written the book, Things Every Kid Should Know, Drugs. And the other day, you know, on the news, there was a story about this third grader who was selling drugs.
I saw that.
It was just like, my daughter's like, Mom, look at third grade. And I just sat there at awe thinking, third grade? You would never imagine as a parent. And so it's just phenomenal the damages that can happen out there right now with what's going on out there, with the, you know, parents not in control really of their situation, their kids. I mean, the 17-year-old kid took a gun and shot his mom and dad because they took his Nintendo game away. 14-year-old committed suicide because their mom said you can't watch TV. So you have to think, what is happening to our society and our youth, and what will we pay for later due to not taking care of them early on? You know, there's a really good quote saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And what people look for is they don't take the prevention. They don't take the steps before because they don't think they can do it or it's too difficult. But what happens is when the problems arise at the age of 16 and 18 for our youth, then all of a sudden the parents are willing to pay anything for the cure. But it's almost too late. It's really almost too late to make that happen because you really have put so much damage into those kids that it's hard for them to change now. It's going to be only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really that can cure them. And so you have to, as a parent, think about this. When my child turns 18, what do I want from them? What do I expect from them? Do I expect them to say, I'm 18 and I'm leaving and I don't care, I'm going to do whatever I want? Which is what the majority of children are saying nowadays. This is exactly how they think. They think, I'm 18, I'm done. It's my life. And they have no clue their true purpose of life. They have no clue about their deen. They have no clue. I mean, most of them don't even know how to pray. It's just many, many damages out there.
And also, isn't bullying? You have a lot of bullying and promiscuity that you mentioned, Valentine's. And then this also, I mean, as innocent as some people might think it is, the passing of love letters and notes and starting to form relationships in this kind of way at an early age. And next thing you know, all you got to do is turn on Jerry Springer and you got 9, 10, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds pregnant.
Absolutely.
This is promoting this then.
It is really, really sad because it's now exactly what you said. It's, if you're in fifth grade, fourth grade, and people ask you if you're a virgin and you say yes, it's like you are the worst of the worst. Wow. To be known, to be clean and pious and to be a good person is like a bad thing now. It's the other way around. It's like you are the best if you're not part of that. And this young teenager I was speaking to the other day was telling me this true story about how this guy wanted to go into the gang to help his family, his mom and stuff. And one of the, you know, notions of the gang was you have to go in the middle of the night, like 12 o'clock, and follow some woman. And then everyone rapes her and beats her up to death. Okay, and then they shoot her, and this is how you get into the gang. And I said, and this kid was a teenager that was in it. Well, unfortunately, he agreed to it, and he went through this. Well, when he did that, at the end, everyone like messed up this woman really bad. She was screaming, crying. And then they said, okay, he said, well, let me just look at her before I shoot her. And when they took the bag off of her face, it was his mother. Wow. And he was so sad, and they start crying, and that he fell off the building. He died, and so did his mother. And for what? I said, you know, when people, they don't think about it, where they don't think it could be their sister, it could be their mother that this is happening to. So why are we behaving this way? Why?
And we need to take the matter seriously. And this is for everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim. If you really want the best for yourself and your family, we need to think serious. Turn to the one who's created us, who sent down the guidance. And be sincere. It's out there. We're not going to tell you and force nothing upon you, but start to, within yourself, want to change and then start to look for that that can help you change for the better. That's all we're saying. Tell us now a few more points. We want to get people excited about looking into this and taking the matter more seriously. It's easy to just to, as they say, have children, but if you don't plan properly, then you plan to fail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that one of the things, Eddie, we don't think about often is like we think, okay, when we get old, our children will take care of us, right? But if we don't take care of them when they're young and we don't give them the right guidance and we don't give them the right information and we don't nourish them and cherish them and love them, which the majority of society no longer can do due to, you know, everyone working two jobs and the kids are in school and after school, there's after school programs and then they come home late and there's no family time really spent. There's no like, what is it, quality time spent. And so due to that, if we don't do that, how are we going to expect them to take care of us when we're older, when we're aged, and when we no longer can take care of ourselves? They're going to say, well, you didn't do anything for us. This is exactly the mentality. What did you do for me that I should take care of you now? And so what ends up happening is we end up going in the nursing homes just like we don't want to. So I tell the parents, when you're looking at your child, you have to look at them exactly like you said, as an investment. They're our investment in this world for the hereafter. If we want that, you know, benefit, inshallah, when we die, then we need to raise them to be able to pray, to be able to recite Quran, to be able to be pious and humble and be a servant to Allah and to help all of mankind. And if they cannot, due to the fact that we're so busy and we're so integrated into our own lives, then why would they even take care of us when we're older? Why? Because we never raised them that way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
So now, okay, we talked about the public institutions, but now there are some Islamic schools, but the parents, they drop off the children there thinking a miracle is going to happen overnight. But if you in your house are not implementing the beautiful and wonderful loving things that the Creator of the heavens and earth has told us to do out of His mercy, that will only better our life, they'll bring us peace, contentment, and happiness in this life and paradise in the next. And next thing you know, your child is listening and watching TV, and then you know the kind of songs that they're singing out there. I'll give you a taste. You know, there's lyrics like "Brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack," promoting how drunk can you get, how bad can you behave, and boys blowing up our phones, drop topping, playing our favorite CDs, blowing up the parties, and this is cool, and it's cool not to be a virgin. And now these are things that are being promoted through the media, through the MTV, and through the different American Idol programs and everything else that are being played through, as Shaitan, a story that was said once, I heard a Sheikh mention it. He said that when Shaitan, the devil, comes in a house and he sees the TVs all over, and then and it's more so what's being played on the TV. It's not the box itself. It's what's mm-hmm. coming in. He leaves and says, my job is done here.
Yep.
So now, if we don't take this seriously, and then the kids are coming into the Islamic schools, will they have an influence on the other kids whose parents are implementing Islam, and they're watching out for these destructive things, and then they send them to the Islamic school, but then the other kids, they picked up on some of the bad behavior from their house, they bring it home, and now it rubs off. Is this the case? Could this happen also?
Absolutely. I've seen it many a times, and even though my children don't go to private school, I have a lot of friends whose children do go to private school, and one of the moms recently was telling me that her daughter was getting bullied in the private school by another girl, bullied. And I said, are you kidding me? How can a Muslim bully a Muslim? You know, like, you would never imagine people of the same faith, people with higher morals, higher values doing that. And I just sat there really astonished at what I was hearing, and just there's just so much going on, because the parents, I mean, like I say, I always say, you know, just because you have the look doesn't mean everything else is done. We need to clean ourselves from the inside out and constantly be working on ourselves and striving for the sake of Allah to better ourselves. And they're not. A lot of families have neglected to understand that, you know, they're thinking, oh, it's okay, my child is just going to watch, for example, Miley Cyrus or, you know, the Cheetah Girls or Hannah Montana. But even in shows like that on Disney Channel where parents think it's okay, there is so much happening that is not okay. They're still using bad words. They're still using, you know, girls and boys liking each other at such young ages where we wouldn't even imagine it. I mean, 8, 9, 10, are you kidding me? Like, it's not ages we think about. And so parents thinking that because their kids are young, maybe these shows don't do it, and so they don't even watch the shows. Even cartoons such as SpongeBob uses profanity. I mean, it might not be to the level that other people, but it's enough for me to say, I don't want my kids using that word. That's a bad word. So my thing is the parents have to take more responsibility and more be ready to say, okay, inshallah, you know, I'm going to do this. But again, parents are too busy. And I tell the moms all the time, I said, we got to hang up the phones. We got to stop watching it ourselves in order for our children to learn. And so I think that they need to set higher goals, inshallah, and higher standards in order for that private schools to be useful for them. Because if you can't do it yourself, then you need to help, you know, complement it. And so that way at home, you're doing similarly with what you're sending them for school, inshallah.
Absolutely. So take out the R-rated movies, unplug the cable, maybe have some good stuff playing. Zachy, Adam's World. Are there some other substitutes that are inspiring the children towards righteousness and away from the bad behavior that you recommend?
Well, you know, definitely what you said, Adam's World. I highly recommend, you know, Brother Eddie, the best thing I recommend is getting your children to read. I am a big believer in reading, and because reading makes them think and become so creative, and the way they take a story is phenomenal. And I'll give you an example. I started my children, my two younger ones, to start reading at 3 and 4. And so one day my six-year-old, this was just about 2 weeks ago, he came to me and he started crying really bad. And I said, Zafar, what's wrong? And he said, Mama, the book. And I said, what book? What happened? Did it hit you? He said, no, it didn't hit me. And he's like, now I'm starting to cry because as a mom, I feel his pain. And I'm like, Zafar, what's wrong? Tell me, Habibi, tell me. He goes, I was reading Yusuf alayhi salam's story and how his brothers did that to him. That was so mean. How can his brothers do that to him? And he just sat there and just in pain because of one of the messengers of Almighty Allah, of Almighty God, went through this test of life, and he felt for him. And he felt really, you know, and I sat there and we talked about it, and I was telling him how all of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have faced so many difficult tests, and it's for us to learn from and remember, you know, and we're talking about it. But had he not been reading, had he not sat down to pick up that book, he might have not experienced that. We don't experience the same emotions with everything. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm a believer for good education on television or computer and stuff. But books have been the most, like, life-changing for me. And reading itself. And obviously, it was the first thing that was even told to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, to read. And so my thing is, if the parents can get the kids to read more, it's phenomenal. Because for myself, my 5-year-old's read over like 1,100 books right now. My 6-year-old's read over 1,700 books. And Alia, who's 10, she's read over 2,400 books right now.
Wow,
and so
mashallah.
It affects them. It does affect them and how they talk and their decisions. And they'll come discuss things and they'll become more creative. They'll write differently, you know. And so I think books are just phenomenal. And I urge every parent out there to give them good books. Now, there's bad books, just like bad TV, and there's good books. The good books can spark things in our children like we wouldn't even imagine. And it's unbelievable because I've seen it with my kids. And I mean, if my 6-year-old can do it, mashallah, you know, forget the other children. They could do it.
Yes, with the help of the creator of the heavens and earth, we can all do it. We can all do what's best for us. Then we'll have a better society. And we will, inshallah, have that peace and satisfaction and happiness. Tell us about, we discussed the public schools and some of the things that are going on there. Very bad. We turned it up a notch and we talked about the Islamic school. It's great, but we have to make sure that we're implementing the deen, the way of life of all the messengers of God, Islam, that total complete submission to the will of the creator of the heavens and the earth in our homes, so that we don't now have a destructive home and then we send them to the Islamic school and then they bring the destruction to the Islamic school. So we have to live this life 24/7, no timeouts, no breaks. And now we want to dwell into it. We're going to have to do a part two, but just in the remainder time that we have, tell us about, is it difficult? What do you do? Where do you start? People think like, man, this is just too much. It's overbearing. How do I even begin with the homeschooling?
I'd say, you know, first is your intention. It's your intention that you want to give your children the best education, the best knowledge, the best information. I mean, there's going to be areas, like there's subjects that I'm not 100% great at, and which is like the Arabic language, because I've never learned it. And all. So what I did was I hired a teacher to come into my house, and she teaches my kids Arabic, Quran, and Islamic studies. So she'll go through that. In Islamic studies, I usually do with them as well myself. But the subjects that you're weak at and you can't, and you know, do yourself, then I would hire someone. Now, if many parents have money, they can still hire a really good teacher to even come home and help with the, you know, other subjects like English, math, and other skills as well. But the thing is, it's in your home. You're controlling what's coming inside your home. You're letting the teacher know what they could study. You're getting the right books. There's a lot of great curriculums out there for the, you know, secular studies as well as Islamic studies, and kind of going into it. Because there was, you know, I have to say, one time I bought a curriculum, and in this curriculum, my daughter, it was a second grade curriculum, and it's like talking about history, but in the history books, unfortunately, when it came during the Indian times, there was a lot of naked people. And I was like, my kids don't need to see this.
Yeah.
So you have to be very, very careful in what's even inside the curriculums that are being sent to homeschooling. So one of the websites I really recommend, if it's okay with you, if I can share that.
Yes, yes.
It's www.ad-duha.org, adduha.org. And they have really a great Islamic curriculum there. I've loved it. I've done it with my children. They have tafsir books, workbooks, you know, textbooks, and just great stories and information. I would highly recommend if parents want to do the Islamic stuff there. But with the non-Islamic stuff, I just say, you know, there's Calvert homeschooling curriculum. But just be careful. I would go through the stuff myself first to see, you know, if you want to keep all of it or not. There's a lot of things, like I said, I had to take away due to the fact that I didn't think it was appropriate. You have to, you know, be willing to be part of that. And like I said, if it gets difficult, you know, you get involved in a homeschooling community where there's other parents who are also homeschooling. And they're of different races and religions, but really they're all very supportive to each other in homeschooling. You get to go on field trips. You get to control so much more of what's coming into your child's mind and what's coming out of them. And also, like I said, you know, there's the Quran programs. You know, if you want your children to be a hafid, then inshallah, there's so many different ways to go about it. There's QuranExplorer.com that they can practice. But QuranReading.com is a place where my children get Quran lessons from. So there's different ways that you can go about it. The most important thing to do, Brother Eddie, is to make your intention first. If you make your intention that this is something you want to do and you want to give your kids the highest level of education, morale, and values, and then you make that intention, then you start looking around and inshallah you'll see there's so many other things. I also have a website called MuslimsHomeschool.com. That's MuslimsHomeschool.com homeschool.com. And I have some resources there, some books that are available, some different programs, some, like I said, ebooks and some videos they can watch, you know, inshallah, to give them a little bit more strength. I have to tell the parents out there, is it easy? No, it's not easy. And I will not even sugarcoat it. However, it is very rewarding. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. I think it's the best decision I've made since I've gotten closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I see the way my children are, the way they behave, the way they're loving, the way they want to pray and recite Quran. My daughter had been wanting an iPod for a long time. And so finally I told my husband, because she's like, Mom, please give me the iPod. I just want Quran. I don't want anything else. So finally I told my husband and he fixed it up. And on the way to New York, like just last week, she was like for like 2 hours just reciting Quran, mashallah. And it was, you know, you're just going to see the benefits so much. It's unbelievable. And I highly recommend it. I think it's the best decision I've made.
This gives chills to the believer to hear such wonderful news about the child who's reciting the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and is away from all the other negative things that are out there. Does this transfer over? Some people might ask, the homeschooling, the crediting, and does it transfer over to the criteria set by the state?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's many ways you can get the diploma. You can get them a high school diploma even while you're homeschooling. They just have to take a couple of classes and tests at the end. It's very simple, very easy. And beyond that, most of the best universities and colleges, they actually go to recruit homeschoolers because they know that homeschoolers are very well-rounded. They're very intelligent. They are self-sufficient in the sense of they go out there and they're getting stuff done. They don't have to be babied and begged, and because they're, you know, they're in an environment where that if they don't get it done, then it doesn't happen. So they're much more independent in their intelligence and studying, and they're more creative. Again, you know, creativity is very, very important because, you know, everyone's always looking for, are you creative? Are you becoming a leader or a follower? And homeschooling students, most of them are leaders because they're out there, you know, getting it done for themselves. They have to be independent thinkers. And so universities are very, very fond of that. And when you graduate early, because with homeschooling, you can also graduate early because you get much more done in a short amount of time, you also get better scholarships. And so there's a lot of really great benefits to it. They can get a high school diploma and all that. And I'm actually working on doing a curriculum, inshallah, in the future. It's just right now it's been quite busy, but in a couple of years I'll probably put something together where it makes it easier for parents to just follow a set of curriculums and then how they can get their diploma and all that, inshallah.
A few more points. It's very exciting. At what age should they start? What age? You're coming up 2-3 years old. What age do you start doing this? I mean, they've been listening to the Quran. They've been trying to look at the different books with the pictures, stories of the prophets. Is this good enough for now? But at what age do you get the curriculum and where do you start, like, the formal education?
I'd say at 2 years old, I would start. That's what I did with my youngest. At 2 years old, he started actually tracing letters. By 3 years old, I got him into reading. He started reading, and in 6 months, he was reading at a 6-year-old level. By 4 years old, he was reading at an 8-year-old level, mashallah. So I would say at 2, if you can start slowly, because they're bored and they're willing to do things. Kids are very, very, you know, part of their environment. If you give them the right environment, they will grow. They will just flourish, mashallah. So I would say starting at that age and then just kind of reading them the stories, reading them the books until when you see that at 3, they can start reading themselves every day, continue reading with them, and then start preschool. My kids are all about 3 grades ahead right now, mashallah. So my son who just turned 5, he's supposed to be starting kindergarten in the fall, and he is actually starting 3rd grade in about a month. And he's the most ahead because he started a little bit earlier. My son, who's 6 years old, is supposed to be finishing 1st grade. He's going to be starting 4th grade in about a month. And my daughter, who's supposed to be finishing up 4th grade, is starting 7th grade. So they're all advanced in the sense they're just, you know, it's one-on-one attention. It's much more time for, instead of 30-to-1 to answer questions, you get much more questions answered quicker. They have much more time to study and think and contemplate. So I would say if you can start at 2 to just get them going to writing and, you know, tracing, by 3 they can start reading, and inshallah, and just start with their pre-K and K, and you'll see that they're just going to flourish themselves, mashallah.
The books for the 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, are they at this website that you recommended?
Yes, absolutely. They're in this website at Doha. They have like a little pre-K thing. They also have the ABCs and the colors. And so they're doing a little bit complementing Arabic and Islamic studies and secular studies. That's so they're teaching both sides.
That's at the ad-doha.org. They got both there?
Yes, yep.
So they have the books there and a few more. We're almost out of time. Tell us, is the argument that some might say homeschooling, you're isolating the kid. He needs to know what's permissible, what's not. So being around other kids, it's like he can experience and then come back home and then you can teach, you can admonish, you can tell him, okay, this is haram, not permissible, this is, and then they'll have more questions. They won't be so isolated. Have you got this argument? How do you answer it?
Yes, absolutely. All the time I get the whole socialization thing. I said my kids are more socialized than you can imagine. My daughter, mashallah, who's 9, she spoke in front of a school, in front of 250 kids, and she did a whole PowerPoint that she put together. And the principal of the school came up to me afterwards and said, I wish that my 9th graders could do what your 9-year-old did. And so they're very much more socialized, more because they have more confidence, they have more self-esteem, and they know that they're okay. And then I'll tell you a really quick story because I want to really show the parents that, you know, you got to open your mind to what can be happening. I think the opposite. I think if you give them all the great stuff, then inshallah, when they're out there being attacked or being, you know, in the defensive form, they can handle themselves better. Well, what happened about a year ago, I'd say, we were at an event, my daughter and I, and there was a lot of non-Muslim media there. And we were actually looking into getting into the media with this different book that I had written. And one of the media people came up to my daughter and she said, does your mom and dad force you to wear that? And my daughter looked at her and she was talking about the hijab because all your dresses and the abaya and the hijab. And Alia said, no. And as soon as she said that, I started walking away from her. I wanted her to take care of this question herself and answer it. Whatever came out of it would come out. I don't want anyone to think I was forcing her into anything. So I started walking away. She looked at me and I was like, you can handle it. You know, so I walked away. And as I'm on the other side of the room, you know, the lady looks at her and she goes, then why do you wear it? And Alia looked at her and she goes, well, do you obey your parents? And the lady said, well, sort of. I did when I was younger, but now I'm older, so I don't really have to. She goes, okay, well, let me ask you another question. She said, do you obey the government? I mean, do you drink and drive? Do you speed when you're not supposed to? And the lady said, well, no, not really, because I'll get a ticket or I'll get fined. And, you know, so I have to try to obey the government. And Ali said, well, if you can obey your parents and you can obey the government, then why wouldn't I obey my creator who created me, who gave me 2 eyes, my sensibility, my knowledge, my, why wouldn't I obey him by listening to him? This is something he has asked and I'm willing to do it to obey him. And I was on the other side of the room and I was like, Allahu Akbar. I said, she handled herself. So by giving them the right information and the right knowledge, they're able to handle themselves when they're in situations and people are trying to bring them down. Instead of feeling like they don't have the confidence or the ability, they do have it. They know how to answer the questions. They know what to say. So I think the parents will be able to give them much more self-esteem and confidence versus, you know, being out there in the other side where now they're ashamed to talk about their parents. They're ashamed or embarrassed to talk about the stuff that they should not be.
Absolutely. Sister, this is an inspiration to us all. What wonderful news when we hear this. May the Creator continue to bless you and your family. Amen. Give us a way that the viewers, they can visit to get some of your books.
Okay, well, they definitely can go on MuslimsHomeschool.com. And they, like I said, they can get more information. There's also, if they email us, my assistant will be able to send a book. It's called Antarbiya, like the well-roundedness of a child. It's an ebook that a brother wrote and is phenomenal, mashallah. She'll email that to them as well. But at MuslimsHomeschool.com, there's all of my books are out there and they can see. And inshallah, I am actually looking to I've started writing it, but I've just been so busy. But a book called The Power of Homeschooling. And it's really going to be all based on homeschooling and the power of it and how parents can actually initiate and start it and inshallah take it to the next level.
Okay, so we've discussed the as we wrap it up and close, the public schooling, definitely something you want to stay away from. Islamic schools, you have to just be in tune with the other family members to make sure that the other kids whose family, and we want them and we encourage them to be more in the deen, so then they will have good behavior taught at the Islamic school and they'll pick it up at home too. And it's not where the child at home at that age of 10, 11, 9, they take off the hijab at home, but then they come because the mother's not wearing it and then they come home. It's like developing a split personality.
Mm-hmm.
Advice to those parents and just the parents in general who want the best for themselves and their family.
The best advice I can give for a parent is saying, lead by example. You're the parent. You have to control your tongue. Make sure you're not backbiting in front of your children. Make sure you're not watching the wrong stuff. Make sure you're not listening to the wrong stuff. And make sure that you dress yourself appropriately. If you cannot do those things, then your child will follow in your footsteps no matter what school system you send them to. Unfortunately, you're the first example for them, and you need to be the best example, which means you constantly need to work on yourself first. You know, when I make my mistakes, I'll sit there and I'll tell my kids, okay, look, I made a mistake here. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's because of this, or I didn't know. And I'll approach them so they understand that I'm human and I make my mistakes, not that I'm any better, but that I'm also working on fixing myself. And I think the parents need to remember that we are their examples. We are their primary role models. And if we're not doing the talk and we're sending them and say, okay, I want you to be a hafiz of Quran, yet the parents don't recite Quran at all, the kids are going to be like, then why should I do it? So you need to be in that same position that you want your children to be, inshallah. And so it's very, very important to be congruent on everything, to be on the same, you know, the same path.
Absolutely. Great advice. And may we all, may Allah help us, the creator, to get this compulsion to do things the right way. We want to invite you back so we can cover more of the details on some of the steps that you took, and we'll dwell in more of the specifics, and you can give us more of the ways that you have implemented that have helped to produce the children that you have, who are a step, a few levels above everybody. This is amazing. So would you be willing to come back and discuss more of this in depth?
Inshallah, absolutely.
God willing, inshallah. Thank you very much. May the creator of the heavens and the earth reward you. And inshallah, we'll see you back next time.
Jazakallah khair. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Peace be unto you.
Fresh, pure, holy peace. Fresh, pure, holy peace.